The children's author Roald Dahl died almost 25 years ago, and yet today you can find more musical adaptations of his work than ever before.
Matilda is a hit on Broadway. A musical version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is running in London's West End.
Over the weekend, the London Philharmonic Orchestra debuted the newest adaptation of Dahl's work, a classical piece for children based on a collection of poems called Dirty Beasts. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports on why musicians keep coming back to Dahl's work.
There is no life I know to compare with your imagination.
While Roald Dahl was alive, there were very few musical adaptations of his stories. One exception was the original movie of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, starring Gene Wilder.
Anything you want to do it, want to change the world, there's nothing.
This film has become a beloved classic. Roald Dahl hated it. Donald Sturrock was friends with the author and now works with the Dahl estate.
He really disliked the music and the lyrics, and I think thought they were very cheesy.
Dahl's aesthetic is anything but cheesy. From the witches to the twits, Roald Dahl wrote stories for children that are dark, bawdy, violent, and profoundly funny. Sturrock says Dahl's writing was also very musical, even though he never crafted a tune.
Quite a lot of the books have songs in them. He quite liked to write these rhyming couplets. And I think that whole thing of comic verse was something he was very interested in and wrote quite a lot of.
Dahl also used music as inspiration when he sat down to write, though the pieces he listened to were not exactly comic verse. Here the author spoke with the BBC in 1979.
I never used to start writing in the morning before putting on some very great music, like a Beethoven quartet, and sit and listen to it in the hopes that some of this greatness would rub off on me and that I would write better. As a matter of fact, it helped quite a lot because it is impossible after listening to great music to write absolute rubbish.
After Roald Dahl died, the estate actively sought out people who would make musical adaptations of his work. On top of the musicals, there are about a dozen classical pieces. There's an opera of the Fantastic Mr. Fox and one of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory called The Golden Ticket.
I hope he's joking. Don't you?
Sturrock says some of these projects were successful, others less so. He thinks that it has taken time for musicians to really absorb Dahl's sensibility.
It's taken 20, 25 years since his death for other people to catch up with the fact that kids, musicals, kids, you know, pieces for children needn't be sweet and safe and saccharine and straightforward.
Take the musical Matilda. One of the songs uses a double entendre that you would never hear in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. The tune is called Revolting Children. Here's one important difference between the musicians who adapt Dahl's work today and the ones who did it 25 years ago. The people writing the tunes now grew up with these stories. Ben Volfish is a classical composer in his 30s, best known for writing film scores. He vividly remembers the excitement of reading Dahl's Dirty Beasts as a kid.
I mean, it came out in the early 80s, and it was all the rage, I seem to remember, because you know, there's something extremely naughty about these poems, and I think as a young kid, it just appeals to that side of mischief.
Each poem in Dirty Beasts is a sort of cautionary tale featuring a different animal. There's the scorpion, the crocodile, the lion. As often as not, the poem ends with a child getting eaten. Volfish was hired to turn a few of these into pieces for an orchestra. The London Philharmonic debuted the first one, The Porcupine, at a concert for children on Sunday. The Porcupine tells the story of a greedy girl who runs into the forest to gobble a bag full of chocolates. The girl sits on a porcupine and dashes to her mother in pain. The mother sends the girl to a sadistic dentist with pliers who pulls out the prickles one by one. Volfish says he was inspired by Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf, another piece of classical music that uses a narrator and instruments to tell a story.
The key thing for me was to make it an incredibly exciting and vivid experience for the audience, because this is directly aimed at young people. In this case, it was all about finding a way to introduce this quite overwhelming sight of a symphony orchestra to people under the age of 7.
The music does not talk down to kids. It's complicated stuff. Parts of the piece are atonal, chaotic, even scary. The narrator is Chris Jarvis, who has spent his career doing children's TV in Britain. He acknowledges that this is much darker than his typical material.
And I'm not sure whether you'd get away with it now. It's a bit like cartoons, like Tom and Jerry. I'm sure if you pitch Tom and Jerry now to the commissioner of a children, they'd say, "What?" And he bashes him over the head with a hammer. What?
But the kids eat it up. 9-year-old Alice Sanders Garcia came to the concert with her family.
I really liked it because the music expressed the feelings of the story, and it helped me understand the story better.
Like which parts?
Like when she sat on the porcupine, it sort of like went all scary and active, so you understood that she was, without even knowing the story, you understood she was sitting on the porcupine.
Alice Sanders Garcia says she has never seen an orchestra before. Now she is eager to return. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, London.